Roto Grinders presents the Daily Fantasy Fix podcast. Dan Bach talks to the biggest personalities in DFS, delivers commentary on the industry's most important topics, and gives you the advice you need to help build winning lineups.
Both the salary and the matchup are just too good. If you are not playing him in your head-to-head games, you are just going to lose.
You didn't really think we were going to get rid of that, did you?
Here's your host, the one and only, Dan Bach.
Hey everyone, what's up? Welcome. It is a Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix podcast for you on this Thursday. Dan Bach back in the driver's seat again, and great to be talking daily fantasy with you. Of course, the show's brought to you by our friends at Fantasy Draft. Make sure you run on over there, check them out, get ready for week two, the big Carolina Millions. And speaking of that, we're going to open up the show today with an interview with the guy who won it last week, who won that qualifier. We're only going to have 12 of them. You know, it's hard to interview people when there's 150 finalists, but if it's one per week, I'm going to try and knock that out, assuming it is you who qualifies and you want to come on the show. Why wouldn't you? I'm an easygoing guy. So he will join us here in just a moment. Also saw that FanDuel did launch their live final. $2.5 million is the total prize pool, which is quite a bit lower, about half of the amount that they had last year for that, but also only going to be having 50 finalists this year. So I haven't seen all the specs on it. I haven't even seen a landing page, but I did see in the game itself, it had the total amount. So we'll keep our eye on that little situation out there at FanDuel, and it's going to be apparently back out in California, which I think was a great destination. I mean, I've been to live finals for going on 6 years now, and you know, outside of Vegas, which I still think is like the preeminent spot for something like this, because you know, you've got the shows, you've got the food, you've got the gambling, you know, it's got everything that's like adult paradise. And this thing though, this Terranova Resort, I'm not sure if I said that right, this place is just beautiful. I mean, it was literally on the water out there right in Southern California. You had beautiful golf courses right around, spas. I loved it. It was my favorite venue that we've been to. So I'm glad that they went back there, and hopefully we get some more details on that one moving forward. But that, certainly wanted to pass that along for people. We do have Thursday Night Football. I know the Siege and Stevie have their NFL podcast today, so make sure you are subscribing to their feed. It's separate of the Daily Fantasy Fix, and please leave them a nice little 5-star review. I'm going to hit up on baseball here in a moment. The evening slate, only 8 games, so we're going to run through that one real quick. But before we do, let's talk to last week's winner over on Fantasy Draft. His name is Greg Peters, and he is joining us today on the Daily Fantasy Fix. All right, it's been a while since we had a big winner on the podcast, but with Fantasy Draft being such a terrific sponsor of this podcast, I thought that it would be great to bring on the weekly qualifier for their Big Carolina Millions Live Final Championship. Again, that is going to be happening a little bit later on in the season. Smaller field, only 12 tickets going to make it out there to Carolina to play for a share of $1 million. And Ken, again, make sure you check him out in the lobby for this week's contest. But last week, we had our first qualifier, and he goes by the name of Daily Crusher. Real name is Greg, and he joins us here today on the Daily Fantasy Fix podcast. Greg, welcome to the show. And let me start off saying congrats, man. Good win last week.
thank you, Dan. Yeah, it was a crazy ride for sure. And my name that a lot of people know me by is actually Vinji Vin, which has been my DraftKings and FanDuel name, an old poker name. I know you gave me a hard time once about those old carryover names, so I changed it for new sites.
Well, that was smart, because you're right. mine is actually still DB730 is an old poker name as well. But slowly but surely, the old poker names are getting phased out because online poker just isn't a big deal anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
But you're not like a rookie to daily fantasy. I mean, we actually met at a live final back in the day. How long have you been on the daily fantasy grind?
Probably about 3.5 years, I'd say. I found it, you know, I was kind of searching after poker and stumbled upon some sites And I realized, wow, this thing's been going on for a while, a lot longer than I thought. And so, you know, I started playing it and I just fell in love with it. And, I mean, it's, there's nothing like it. And when all the legislation started coming down, I was like, oh no, not again, not again. Because I love the sport. It's just, it's so engaging. And I'm glad that a lot of you know, Major League Baseball and the NBA are really embracing it as well. So
yeah,
it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And it is nice to have, you know, some supporters from the leagues. That certainly makes things a little bit easier. What, where do you come in terms of the sports you play? I mean, obviously football is king when it comes to, you know, fantasy sports and even daily fantasy sports. You grind them all? Or are you exclusive to one?
I play NBA, Major League Baseball, and then obviously NFL, and I love PGA. Love it.
I love it too, but I'm not very
good at it. The four-day sweat, you know?
You see, that's the problem. And it was like, I had a really good week one. And then here I am, you know, 8:30 in the morning, the lock doesn't happen till 10, and I'm just literally firing lineups left and right into GPPs, and I have a gut feeling that I'm just going to lose all this money that I won. I'm a glutton for punishment, because you're right, like, the sweat of it is great. You get 4 days worth of it, and, you know, sometimes it's funny because, you know, the game itself is just so fun, and I think so. Nobody likes to lose. Don't get me wrong. Nobody likes to lose, but for whatever reason, it just doesn't feel. It's like I get more bang for my buck for a week of golf than I do for anything else. So it feels like I'm almost okay with still losing when I play.
That's right.
I don't know if that makes sense.
Except a lot of times on Friday, it's very depressing when you're realizing Saturday and Sunday's got nothing in store for you.
That's true. But it is kind of like the double sweat, though. You know, you get the one up
exactly.
to Friday and then over on the weekend. Now, fantasy draft, obviously you sound like you kind of transitioned over somewhat recently there. You changed the screen name from what you had before. And, you know, you got in on the qualifier. How many lineups did you have in that tournament last week?
I had one lineup. I entered it in that and the run, same lineup in that and the run and gun. And yeah. I was looking over there and I was like, you know, I need to enter that qualifier. I love live finals. I mean, I love when these guys, the operators have live finals. I always try for them because they're so much fun. If people haven't been to one, you know, it's really a blast and they should try because it's like the closest thing you get to that, you know, World Series of Poker type feel and that, you know, the excitement and everything.
Exactly. I totally agree with you. And I was happy to see Fantasy Draft kind of embrace that and
yes.
go for that this year. And you know, you're a good example that, you know, there's still, I think, a lot of people who feel like you have to multi-enter if you want to win. And you did it on just one lineup. And you know, I think it goes to show, you know, as long as you, you know, concentrate and build that one lineup, you know, anything can really happen. And I want to talk about that lineup, though, because I have to imagine, I mean, you were obviously in good shape going into Monday, but, you know, Fantasy Draft is one of the few sites out there that their main slate does include the Monday night games. So, therefore, you had Sam Bradford, you had, I think, Stephon Diggs. Did you have Adam
yep.
Thielen on that one as well?
He and Bradford, those guys, putting those guys together was the main thing I was going for there. And then, yeah, and so what was really crushing is I just finished third in both a King of the Beach and the Fantasy Football World Championship on DraftKings. Carlos Hyde, when he was had it fourth and goal with the one, and they gave him the ball and he didn't make it in, and I would have won both of those. So it was actually coming off a great sweat the previous day, you know, and but very disappointed, as you know. I'm sure you've been there many times where you're just right there and you miss the big play. And so and I flipped over to Fantasy Draft and I was like, man, this lineup, it's got some, this one has some legs tomorrow if I can get those guys hooked up. And so, you know, the way I built that one, obviously I wanted, because most of the other slates are just Sunday only, I thought, well, you know, do you go Breeze or do you go Bradford? And I just like the price, obviously, better on Bradford, and I thought it could be a shootout. It turned out it was a one-way shootout. But, you know, I thought, okay, I'll go Bradford and Thielen, and then I just filled in the rest of my lineup with a lot of the daily overlay, the site I have, a lot of the weighted consensus. So, you know, there we take all the experts like Roto Grinders and others, and we just put them all together and come up with the best plays. And so that's what got me the Rams, Antonio Brown, Jordy Nelson, McCoy, Gurley, all those guys, Ertz. Ertz was one of the biggest plays out there. The chalk, you know.
Sure. And it was interesting, though, too, because, you know, fantasy draft is a little soft on the salary cap week one. And you had Le'Veon Bell and David Johnson. These guys were like 40, 50% owned. Ertz was the other one that was really highly owned who looked like he was just kind of mispriced a little bit. But you managed to stay away from Bell and David Johnson. Was this intentional? Was it just kind of the way the build went? Because I'd be willing to say that maybe like 70 or 80% of the lineups in that tournament probably had at least one of those guys, and that might even be low.
Yeah, you know, when I started to build it, I was just really the first three players I picked were just right off the consensus, and that was Gurley, Ertz, and the Rams, actually. Mm-hmm. And then I realized, well, I've got some money left, and I really liked McCoy. He was also on the consensus, and I was just like, I'm gonna pick him up as well. And so then it was kind of down to I had a decent amount of money left, and so but it was receivers that looked like I needed to fill in, and so that's when I picked him. And actually, the last guy I put in was actually Diggs. And I was sitting there with that money, and I was just like, oh, you know, I didn't really like Pierre Garçon was the only other choice. And I was like, do I do this double wide receiver thing? Because it's really, you know,
yeah,
it's really feast or famine when you do that type of thing. And I was like, well, I'm going for only one spot in this tournament, and that's number one. So what the heck? I'll play the double receiver thing.
Yeah, and it certainly panned out. You know, just a monster Monday night game for Minnesota, and you punch your ticket to Charlotte. Now, I think the thing that's a little bit interesting about the live final for fantasy draft here is we only got 12 seats. You know,
I love it.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen a few of the other sites out there. You know, have hundreds of finalists, which you know does make a great atmosphere. I'm not dogging that at all, but this is almost a throwback to the earlier years of Daily Fantasy when, you know, it was smaller fields, you know, was, you know, certainly your odds, you could say, of, you know, winning that top prize far greater than they are in some of the other, you know, live finals that we have. And, you know, the $1 million up for grabs, everybody's going to feel pretty good about themselves when that day is over. So,
absolutely. I mean, you have almost half the entries getting six-figure payouts. The payouts are really flat, which is great. I mean, you know, this is not my full-time job, although sometimes my wife thinks it is. But, you know, the six-figure payouts for five of the places, a very flat, nice structure, and you know, throughout the payout. And that's kind of a breath of fresh air when a lot of times they're trying to push a very big prize at the top spot, but then all the other people that show up basically got a big party and, you know, a few $1,000s, which is great, but it's nice to have the flatter structure for sure.
I think so too. I think it's a big appeal with the Carolina Millions on fantasy draft. All right. Well, before we kind of get on to some other stuff, I want to hear what you like this week, because you can't qualify twice. This is single entry only, so you're done. Which, I gotta say, like, talk about getting into the live final cheap. One lineup, week one, and you don't have to chase any longer. Like, we are all amazing. The envy of you right now, Greg.
I know, usually I'm chasing all the way to the very end, you know. Everybody else has got in, and I'm like, trying to qualify in the last week where I'm going to make plane arrangements, you know, in 4 days to go if I make it. But this week, I don't know. I mean, the thing that stands out is that late game to me. And I just got off doing all my PGA, so it's just really time for me to study. But that late Green Bay Atlanta Falcon game, big total, and I think there's just going to be a lot of play there. I think Ty Montgomery may be a very nice play this week.
Yeah,
you'll have to sweat him at the end, but that, you know.
Yeah, it's funny because I think, you know, last week was a scoring dud for the better part of the daily fantasy games. Like, you know,
it was.
Stafford yes. was like the number one quarterback, or Alex Smith, Kenny Golladay, Tariq Cohen.
Yeah, Wentz.
Yeah, I think this week everything kind of normalizes a good bit. Like, it wouldn't, you know, you've got these monster back and forth games with New England and New Orleans. You've got Atlanta and Green Bay. I have a tough time seeing Le'Veon Bell put up another stinker after what he did last week. So it feels like this is the ultimate, like, okay, you know, NFL gets back to normal. We see crazy high scores. We see four touchdown games from, you know, a half a dozen quarterbacks out there. We see, you know, the studs like Julio Jones do what he's supposed to do. So I think it's going to completely shift from what we saw last week.
I think it is going to be a big difference. And I hate seeing that Patriots game with that high total and then playing the Saints. Cause you know, we all, as players, we all have those teams or players that we just, even if we think it's a good play, it's hard to play. And the Patriots are that for me. I just have a hard time. They burned me so many times that I've stayed away.
It's just hard to pinpoint where it's going to be. And like, especially if you're like a limited lineup guy, if you're like a 1-3 lineup guy, it's hard to kind of commit to that, because like, you can play Brady with Hogan and then it's Gronk, or you play it with Gronk and then it's James White, or it's Gillislee.
Exactly.
It makes it so hard for me. I'm kind of endorsing the naked Brady play this week, simply because
I think that's a good play.
Yeah, but the other thing is, you feel like you lose upside in GPPs if you roll him by himself, potentially, especially if he finds somebody else for two touchdowns, because your feeling is, well, he's going to be a popular play. Other people are going to have that stack. So, you know, I think there's a lot of kind of game theory that goes into playing Patriots, and I think in cash games, that's definitely the way to go. But in GPPs, I'll probably still be that sucker and play Brandon Cooks and have, you know, Philip Dorsett score two touchdowns or something.
Right, exactly. Well, especially with New England, because they'll find one guy, and it's not always the stars, and they'll just feed him the ball over and over one way or another. You know, it's burned me so many times. And I'm not a mass multi-entry guy. You know, normally I'm 5 to 15 lineups in like a mid-sized tournament. So can't afford to take all those chances. That'd eat all my entries right there.
There you go. Well, tell me a little bit about what you came up with a daily overlay. This is kind of an interesting concept that I know we spoke about years ago, and you still have it going. So
we're still running it. Yeah, basically we go and we basically curate all the kind of top experts like RotoGrinders and various of their, you know, of their analysts. And we pull all their picks together, we rank them, and then we wait. We have a consensus where we weight them based on how well they're doing. So the guys that are doing better get a higher weight. And that's what produces our weekly consensus. And I use that to fill in a lot of lineups every week.
Yeah,
for sure.
Pretty cool concept. You know, again, it's daily fantasy is really different as opposed to, sports betting and you know, other games where, you know, you can kind of see what we play and you can like hold people accountable to it. And I think it's kind of cool that you guys are going out there and doing that. I checked it out the other day. I know Justin's up there in PGA. He's hoping to hold on for the entire season. So
And Beers Maker Fan crushed the hitters this year, and we separate hitters and pitchers grading, and he crushed on the hitters this year.
Yeah,
I think he's going to win it.
That's pretty cool. So it's segmented by sport and everything. So check that out, dailyoverlay.com, and you know, see what he's got going on there. Greg, thanks so much for your time. I'm hoping, crossing my fingers, I can get one of those other 11 tickets to join you out in North Carolina.
I'd love that.
For that live final. That would be awesome. I'll be firing again this week, and maybe I'll interview myself about, you know, a win. That would be a wonderful thing.
Perfect.
But thanks so much for your time this morning. Good luck, you know, a little bit later on in the year and throughout this fantasy football season, and good talking.
All right. Thanks, Dan, for having me, and I'll keep listening. And everybody should get in on that fantasy draft. It's a great tournament.
Thanks again to Greg. And before I get to MLB for tonight, I need to tell you about our friends over at Blue Apron. That's right. I've been talking about Blue Apron for a while. And if you haven't given them a try, we're going to give you an opportunity here to do it for free. We'll tell you about that in a moment. But you've probably heard about them. They're the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Their mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone, which is good because then you're eating healthier. Then you know what's getting in your food. And you've got Blue Apron, who's established partnerships with 150 local farms, fisheries, rancheries across the ranchers across the entire United States. So I'll tell you what, cooking together, it does build strong family bonds. It sounds weird, kind of sounds like copy, but it's true. Like when you're actually out there spending time cooking together and you can learn how to cook. And that's the one thing I like about Blue Apron. And I know Britt Devine's tried it out as well. He's not a big cook guy. He usually goes for the fast foods. But it gives you the ability to go in there and it gives you step-by-step ingredients or instructions with the fresh ingredients. And you're building just unbelievable meals that is easy. It takes like 30, 40 minutes. And then you look at yourself and say, how did I just make soy glazed pork and rice cakes with bok choy and marinated green beans? Like, how did I do that? Well, because it's easy. They've got also garlic butter shrimp and corn with green bean salad, roasted purple tomatoes. I didn't even know tomatoes were purple, but that's the wonderful thing. You'll be cooking with ingredients that you wouldn't even know existed. And it's not that expensive either. Those who spend a lot at restaurants or high-end grocery chains can now spend under $10 per person on a delicious meal. It's affordable. Again, like I said, $10 per person per meal. Great variety, very flexible too. If you don't need it for a week because you've got plans, you've got stuff going on with kids, you've got travel, whatever the case may be, put it on hold and then pick it back up. And remember, guaranteed freshness promises that every ingredient will be delivered to your door, ready to cook. And if it's not the case, they're going to make it right over at Blue Apron. So here's what you need to do. Check this week's menu out, and you can get your first three meals for free with free shipping. That's right, boys and girls. Free food, free shipping. Do it. Like, not costing you anything by doing this and giving it a try. So go to blueapron.com/fantasyfix. That's blueapron.com/fantasyfix. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. blueapron.com/fantasyfix. It's Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Thanks again to them. And let's go ahead and get to baseball for us today. I'm going to kind of zip through this slate. Again, I'm pretty checked out on baseball. Tried to fire at some games yesterday. I told you to jump in my games because I don't want to say I'm on cruise control, but I was, you know, locked up in a hotel room with bad internet, so I didn't get to play for about 4 or 5 days. And I was a little bit rusty. I didn't have the Cubs stack yesterday. If I did, it would have been a glorious thing. But I didn't. Today, though, we're going to try and get it right. We'll start with pitching today. And I think, you know, our selections leave a lot to be desired tonight. But I think you're going to have some chalk in Masahiro Tanaka today going against the Baltimore Orioles. Tanaka, you know, he got off to a little bit of a slow start this season. But he's, you know, continued to be a little bit up and down as the year went on. His last start on the road at Texas, literally one of the worst environments this time of year to pitch in. And, you know, he gave up 7 earned runs in 4 innings. Now, the K's were there that game. He certainly had some nice double-digit games as well throughout this season. And, you know, I feel like he's probably our safest option on the board, mainly because we've got Wade Miley on the opposite side of things. So you know the Yankees are going to score a ton of runs, or at least they should. So I think he's very viable on FanDuel and a single-pitcher site. And, yes, the Baltimore Orioles have played way better this second half of the season. There is some risk in that. But an implied team total of only 4 runs today. Tanaka, I'm fine rolling him at the 9-7 price tag over on DraftKings. You know, we saw the Nationals lose yesterday with Max Scherzer on the mound. The Braves put up a big number. Makes me a little bit nervous to roll Tanner Roark out there in this game, especially at a 10-2 price tag. So I don't think he's like a plug-and-play, but I think he's one of our potential options we can look at with Folty on the mound for Atlanta. Fairly strong favorite today at -167. But there's just not a lot to feel great about at starting pitching. Like even a guy like Brad Peacock going against the Angels, I think I'm actually on Peacock more than I am on Tanner Roark here tonight. The problem is, like, he's facing an Angels team that doesn't strike out a lot. But the good news is, well, the previous time he faced him, two starts ago, he had 8 strikeouts in 6 innings. So he didn't have that problem the last time he faced him. The other problem is Houston bats are just not good right now. They just are not scoring any runs. And, you know, just a shell of what we've seen earlier this season. Now, Ricky Nolasco can potentially cure that ill. He's already given up, I think, 8 runs, I read, in 16 innings against the Astros this season. So, yeah, Ricky Nolasco can make you feel a little bit better about yourself. So I think Peacock is going to be my favorite option to roll with. Andrew Cashner's been pitching well. It's just so risky in my eyes to be rolling starting pitching out there in that ballpark in the middle of September with high temperatures. But the price tag is cheap there, and pretty impressive game logs when you look at 1 earned run, 2 earned runs, 1 earned run, 4, 2, 2, 1, 1, 3, 3. So he's only given up 4 earned runs once in his last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 starts. It's really minimizing the damage, not getting, you know, bombed. So you could make the case here going against this Seattle Mariners team that's still technically in contention there for a wild card spot, or like 3 games or so behind the Rangers, still also kind of in contention. By the way, adding that second wild card was just absolutely genius. It would be so boring. All these other teams wouldn't have nearly as much of a chance to compete for a playoff spot. So good job by Major League Baseball there. So a lot to still play for a number of these teams. One team that doesn't have anything to play for is the Blue Jays. That could make Mr. Berrios an interesting option today because they're trying to hold on to that final wild card spot. Toronto's done. Like, they just got nothing going for them right now. A little bit nerve-wracking at this highest total here at 9.5. A bit higher on a implied run total there for the Blue Jays. Certainly higher, 4.25 to the Braves, 3.68. And by the way, the Angels are at 4.2. And that's the other problem with Peacock, too, is just pretty good Angels team right now. You know, scored a bunch of runs yesterday. So that's the struggles you're going to run into this time of year, especially with our pitcher options. You could say, well, what about the Indians? You know, they've only won like 21 straight games. Like, maybe we should consider their starting pitcher. But Josh Tomlin just has zero upside. I mean, at a high price tag for him, he doesn't go deep into games, and he doesn't strike anybody out. So, you know, 5 strikeouts is good enough for you. Roll him out there, probably in a pretty good chance to pick up a win again tonight. And maybe in a cash game you can make that argument, but I just don't love the lack of upside and going against a team in Kansas City who doesn't really strike out a whole lot either. You know, just it makes it more of a stay away for me. He did pitch well. His one start against them this season, actually had a complete game shutout against them. But again, complete game shutout, you're like, oh man, this guy's rolling. What, 35, 40 DraftKings points? No, 27. He only had 3 Ks that entire game. So, and yeah, it wasn't a shutout. It was just a complete game. Gave up 1 earned run that day. But I'm not on Tomlin today. I've got no problem if you want to do it, but I don't see him being a GPP winning starting pitcher at 9K tonight. All right, let's get some bats. These are some of the options that we are looking at all the positions for us. We'll start at the catcher spot. Again, fantasy draft, we don't need to roster a catcher, so we probably shouldn't do it if we don't need to. Wilson Contreras, though, hopefully you played him. I think he had a good game yesterday. Pretty much all the Cubs did yesterday. Get Seth Lugo tonight. Again, if he's batting in that 4 hole with an explosive offense, it makes a ton of sense to give him a look. But we can pay up today, and I think Gary Sanchez is definitely a guy that we want to look at. Love the Yankees today against Wade Miley. They should be able to put a crooked number up on the board. I'm not talking 2. I'm talking like, let's see, what's a crooked high number? 7? Yeah, it's kind of crooked, I guess. 13? That's very crooked. We'll take that one. I like Gary Sanchez a good bit. 4-7. Typically, I'm not endorsing catchers at that high of a price point, but on a night like tonight, I think we can definitely make it happen. Youngster on the mound for Philly in Jake Thompson. So JT Realmuto, another not a bad pitching spot or hitting spot for him at 3-7. But give me Contreras if I'm choosing between those two. Okay, moving on over to first base. And we can go back to that that game out there in Miami, and Justin Bour against Jake Thompson. Really good splits for him. 370 WOBA, 233 ISO. And the price tag is at 4K today, but we can easily make that work. Our boy Rhys Hoskins, we love him. Guy loves to mash. Jose Urena tonight, fine matchup for him, but 5-2. Pretty spicy salary that we have for him. Yonder Alonso, a nice mid-tier 3,500 number for him against Andrew Kashner. We talk about Kashner limiting damage, so wouldn't go too crazy on that one. Matt Holliday feels underpriced if he cracks the lineup against Miley tonight at 3,500. He and Joey Gallo, 35-37. Nice little options for you in the middle tier. Let's see. You know, Anthony Rizzo, fine. Again, that team crushes. And then you've got the Indians, who just are red hot. And when you've got Encarnacion, you've got Carlos Santana against Jacob Yunis, I'm fine with those guys. And you can probably make them fit on a day like today. Okay, moving on over to second base tonight. Obviously, a big payup for us could be Brian Dozier. And I think he might be, you know, the top overall play at that position today at you know, pretty expensive $5,100 salary. But anytime he faces a lefty, we get excited. Good ballpark to hit in. 427, that weighted OBA versus lefties this season. So Brian Dozier on our list. Man, I had Zobrist in my lineup, and I had to make a pivot at the last second because it didn't quite work, and I should have pivoted off of Schwarber. And, yeah, that mistake was not good yesterday. So Zobrist, though, still in that leadoff spot at under 4K over on DraftKings, usually right around 70. I want to say 7,200 or so on Fantasy Draft. Let me bring that up here. Yeah, 7,200, right on the button. Way to go, Dan. Guy who gives you, you know, lots of different eligibility. You know, Houston, man, I mean, I think they're GPP plays at this point in time only. Again, Nolasco does feel like a spot where you can get right, but it's hard to be playing these guys in your cash games at this point in time. Let's see. Yeah, I think that's probably where I'm looking most. D. Gordon, I don't mind today as well against Thompson. Again, no power there, but if he gets on base, huge stolen base upside at under 4K for us. Okay, moving on to third base. And I mentioned Joey Gallo, and he finally, again, looks like a really solid play against Felix Hernandez. His best days certainly behind him. But I think that Todd Frazier against Wade Miley, I love guys with 300 ISOs with salaries in the mid-threes against lefties who just aren't good. So Todd Frazier might be chalky today, but I'm fine rolling him out. Chris Bryant had a monster, and I mean monster, outing for him yesterday against Seth Lugo. See if he played the hot streak a little bit and see if he can keep it going. Jose Ramirez, again, really juiced up. All these Indians players are at 5-6 today. Give me Bryant over him if I'm choosing. And maybe a little Alex Bregman too as well against Ricky Nolasco. Hopefully they can get going here a little bit. But for me, top play, price per dollar, probably going to be Todd Frazier against Wade Miley. All right, let's move on to shortstop, and a couple of guys we can look at. We got a little value in Freddie Galvis potentially today at just 2.9. Again, not looking to stack Phillies by any measure, but against Jose Urena, he should be, you know, fine setup there. And I don't hate Marwin Gonzalez as well. You know, against righties is where we want to play him. He's got the ISO at 220. He's got the weighted OBA at 388. We'll see if he is in that lineup here today. I did call a Correa home run yesterday. I think I did. Yeah, that didn't quite work. But he did get one for three. Did give you a single. He's got hits in four of his last five games. It's coming. It's coming. Maybe it's tonight. I don't know. 4,300 for Carlos Correa tonight. Another guy who's popping on some models is Jorge Polanco against Brett Anderson. Really likes the Twins. A high implied run total over 5 today. 4K is a bit of a price to pay on him, but he bats in the heart of that order. And, again, I don't like stacking Twins because I just don't know where that production is going to come from. But he's a guy who's definitely jumping on some models for me at shortstop. And then lastly, we move on to the outfield, and I think Giancarlo Stanton tonight to see if he can't continue his run at 60 home runs. Love to see him, you know, get there. He's 5,600 tonight, so that's a pretty big price tag for us to pay. But against Jake Thompson, as long as he sees pitches in that strike zone, he could be just fine. One Cleveland bat you might be able to get on the cheap, assuming he cracks it, is Tyler Naquin, back in that lineup a little bit. 2,500 today, but he bats like eighth. But again, could get you a piece of Cleveland for under 3K, but we don't really need that much value for us tonight, so I don't think we need to go that route. Let's give you a couple other names. Jay Bruce at 4-3, kind of like that moderate price tag against Eunice today. 266 ISO, 378 weighted OBA versus righties, so I like him a little bit tonight. Let's see. The Cubs, you got Hayward, you got Schwarber, you got Zobrist, all moderately priced today. And then you can obviously go up and get, you know, Mike Trout. I'm probably not going to do that in the lineups that I'm clearly using Brad Peacock, but, you know, you can make those high-end guys fit today. And probably Aaron Judge against Wade Miley. I really think he's probably going to hit a home run tonight. So got the day off the other day, and, you know, he's hasn't been quite as good the second half of the season. Strikeouts are always happening. But, you know, thank goodness we don't get negatives for strikeouts. But the dude gets on, like, every single game. Like, 4 walks, 1 walk, 1 walk, 0, 1, 1, 2, 1. So he's been walked in 7 of his last 8 games. So at least he's given you something on that front. And if he makes contact, pretty good chance it is going to leave the yard today. Again, Houston bats, use them for GPPs, I think, only. And there you go. That's what I'm looking at tonight. I know it's baseball this late September. We're in our football state of mind. If you want a Thursday play today, I think it's the Cincinnati defense. I don't think it's a lock and load. I don't think if I'm playing Thursday, I'll probably hedge a little bit because you're going to have a lot of ownership in that game. I mean, there is, you know, I know that both these teams look like dog crap last week, but I will say this much. There's something to be said for Lamar Miller in the sense of, like, they need to make sure that, like, Deshaun Watson does not have to carry this team. And the best way to do that is try to get him going a little bit in either short passes or establishing that running game. Easier said than done against Baltimore, but we saw Buck Allen go for, like, 21 carries, 70 yards last week. So, you know, if I was going to play a position guy in that game tonight, it would be Lamar Miller. I don't think I'm going to. But Cincinnati defense also very, very viable. But I just think the game plan is going to be so simplified because it has to be. They don't want him to go out there and, you know, kind of do what happened last week with Jacksonville and just get absolutely, you know, curb stomped by the defense. So that's your one option for you if you're playing Thursday. But get those cash games out there, getting lots of people to pick them up. Remember, it's a huge difference. Post one game at a buy-in level at a time. Don't post 20. It's going to be a slow pickup. If you post one at a time, they'll get picked up. I promise you. Give it a try. And be sure to check out our rake-free head-to-head games over at Fantasy Draft. They even have rake-free satellites for the following week's Carolina Millions. So check that out, too. And really enjoying them being a sponsor of the show. So thank them so much for doing that. And thank you for listening, downloading. You can leave me a little review on iTunes if you haven't done so in a while. And please, Morning Grind, Daily Fantasy Football Podcast, be sure to get those subscriptions and leave reviews for all of our fine content here at RotoGrinders. It helps us out. And if you enjoy getting free stuff, it's a simple way to pay us back a little bit. I'll be back again, same time, same place tomorrow. Talk about the Friday slate. We've got SiriusXM 1 to 2 every day, Monday through Friday. So listen to us there. And our draft show, yeah, Draft Live on SiriusXM. We obviously are doing them on Grinders Live, but we've got the XM show as well. 9 Eastern, me and Beer, draft with us live on the radio. It's actually pretty interesting, pretty fun, so check that out. But I'm out of here. Thanks for listening. Back again tomorrow. Dan Bach wishing you best of luck this Thursday night. We'll see you, everyone.